You're listening to KHOL Jackson. I am here with Chris Owen and Mike Piker from Friends of Pathways, and we are talking winter trails etiquette. Let's start with some general winter trail etiquette tips. Do you want to take that one, Mike?
Sure. Probably one of the big ones is bikes yield to everybody, and downhill bikes will yield to uphill bikes. So if you're riding a bike, you're at the low end of the totem pole there. Also, don't walk in the ski track.
That has got to be my favorite little reminder, is because it really ruins it.
It really does. And the cross-country skiers will sure to give you the stink eye when you walk in their track, and rightfully so. Also, and probably the biggest one is watch out for wildlife. If you come across a moose or elk or any other wildlife, you want to give them a wide berth and try to think about going another way, far around them, or even turn around and go back. And probably another good point would be we should all try to be ambassadors of the trails. You know, I go out and talk to people. Chris talks to people. We patrol it. But the main thing is we all need to take a little ownership and try to pass on the good vibe to everybody.
You know, I've talked to people who live in different states where what happens is they have a lot of rules and regulations and, you know, fines. And we could go that direction if people don't have good etiquette. But so I like that sense of let's all be ambassadors.
Yeah, and we're trying not to go that route. And hopefully everyone plays well together out there.
How about pet guidelines?
I'll kind of start, and then Mike, you can fill in some of the dates. So the Bridger Teton went to leash law around some of the popular trailheads in town.
Right. Yeah. So we started a mandatory leash law December 1st through April 30th in the parking lots at Cache, Game, and Teton Pass.
And that's so important for the pet safety.
Yes, especially for the pet safety.
So in those areas, you want to make sure your pets are leashed. Like as you're getting out of your car, what we find is that's the time when you're putting on your ski boots or whatever that your dog goes off and does its business and you don't see it and don't get a chance to pick it up. So trying to keep them leashed in the parking lot also protects them from getting hit by another car, and that's where it's crowded and hectic. And then making sure you're picking up all of your dog's waste. Paws does a great job of mutt stations and trash cans at almost all the trailheads, so you're never too far away. Put it in the bag, put it the bag back in the trash can. That helps us all out. And like Mike was saying with wildlife, you know, keeping your pet under control even when they're out of the leash areas. The Putt-Putt Trail especially is right up against the winter wildlife closure on Crystal Butte there. So making sure you're keeping your dog under control so that you don't harass wildlife during their kind of critical winter time.
That's right. I mean, and that's so important. That's why we love living here. And part of the reason is the wildlife. But I think sometimes we forget, like, it's their territory. Were there any other tips on pet guidelines?
That's pretty good. Yeah, just especially because that's, like you said, with wildlife, they're trying to conserve energy, and just making them run 100 yards might be the difference between them making it through the winter or not.
If you're just joining me, I am talking with Chris Owen and Mike Piker from Friends of Pathways about winter trails etiquette. Mike, do you want to address the fat bike guidelines for winter use?
Well, again, I can't state it enough. You're at the bottom of the yield totem pole, so make sure you're nice to everybody. You run into hikers and skiers. You might even run into a snowmobile or two. Definitely yield. Another thing too, watch your ruts. When you're riding down the trail, if you're leaving a deep rut, chances are you probably shouldn't be there. It's a little soft. It hasn't set up firm enough to get a good ride in.
And is that because that affects the groomed trail for other folks?
Right. It definitely kind of destroys the groomer. I mean, we put a lot of time and money into grooming these trails. The last thing you want to do is just rip a big rut down it. But you won't make any friends with the Nordic skiers or the cross-country skiers or the hikers or anyone else out there. You definitely don't want to ride in the ski track. Chris, any other stuff?
It's mostly with tire pressure. You know, fat bikes tend to have tires bigger than 3.8 inches, which helps give you more surface area so you don't create that rut. But then making sure you check your tire pressure too. 2 to 6 PSI is what is pretty good on trails, anywhere from where your tire is actually wrinkling as it rolls. And that just helps set up a good surface so that everyone can use it. So runners and snowshoers and skiers can all get out there as well.
I might also add speed. Bikes go really fast, especially coming out of Cache Creek or Game Creek. Please slow down for everyone else on the trail. That really excites people when you come through pretty fast. And especially if folks have leash dogs, the leashes can get tangled up with the bikes, and it can get ugly pretty quick.
And then we mentioned grooming and all the effort and money that goes into grooming. And Chris, you're kind of our grooming guru. So let's talk about Cache Creek winter grooming plan.
Yeah. So about 5 years ago, actually Dave Hunger was working with Bridger Teton to do a trial run. And he was snowshoeing and dragging a weighted sled behind him to groom some trails in Cache Creek. And we found it really worked well to help spread people out and take some of the pressure off the Cache Creek Road. So myself and Chris Quant started doing it with him, and then we got approved by the Forest Service to do some of that with a snowmobile and a roller. So now we do about 12 miles, about 8 of it with a snowmobile roller, and 4 miles with still snowshoeing and dragging a weighted sled.
Wow.
And, it's old school. It's a great workout, but it works in it, especially around the trailhead. We try to do like the first part of Sidewalk, first part of Hagen, the River Trail, Lower Ferens, the Hagen Highway, the Hagen Trail, all the way up towards the end into Noker Mine, and to give people some room to spread out in those short trips and then give people a little more distance, again, to draw the bikers and the skiers a little farther so the trailhead's not as crowded.
Well, it's such a treat to have all those nice trails out there.
So yeah, so with winter grooming, it's a fairly new program. It's something we're still raising money for. So this year we have a matching donor. And if you go out there and you enjoy the trails and you want to contribute a little money to help them keep them open in the winter, that would help us out a lot.
And people can find out through Friends of Pathways
exactly
how to do that?
Yeah, go to our website. There's an easy donate button, and winter trail grooming is one of the categories. So,
any other last minute winter trails, etiquette, tips that you want to alert people to, guys?
I'd say like Mike said, you know, in the winter, we're all a community. Everyone's helping to pack down the trail and make it usable. So just be friendly. Do the yield things that Mike talked about. And remember that the single track especially is kind of narrow, so you don't want to make someone step off into waist-deep snow if you can be friendly and make room for each other to pass. So work together. And
yeah, have fun and have respect for everyone else on the trail.
I've been talking with Chris Owen and Mike Piker from Friends of Pathways about winter trails etiquette. Keep it dialed to 89.1 KHOL Jackson.